You're listening to the Empty Stringers podcast, where every week we talk about locating, catching, and the conservation of redfish. My hope is to share with you what I'm seeing from the polling platform so that together we can catch more fish. Think of it as your weekly fishing report. Welcome back to the podcast, folks. I'm your host, Matt Parrish, and I am back from family vacation. I told y'all I wasn't going to call it a vacation. We'll call it a family trip when we take the kids somewhere. So we went to the Bahamas. And let me just give you a rundown of what that entailed. It entailed a very expensive flight. But I will tell you a hack. We moved our flight up. So we took the kids out of school one day. They weren't going to go. The school was letting them out on Friday. I'm talking about the little kids. The big kids had some kind of church camp, so they didn't go with us. But the little ones we took out of school a day early, and that saved us like $2,000, because of the way the price of flights get jacked up during spring break. So we saved some money there, but we spent it all at this resort. We stayed at the Atlantis in the Bahamas. And I'm just going to give you a quick run through on this just in case you're planning on going or doing something like that. We stayed on the poor side of the resort. We didn't know that there was like a nice side and then like the average Joe side until we got there. But we happened to be staying on the average Joe side. I don't know how much money you have to stay on the nice side, because I feel broke and destitute after the money we spent just to stay on the poor side. So one of the cool things was when you walk out, the outside area of the resort has a lagoon that runs all through it. And there were sharks, sawtooth fish, tarpon, amberjack, giant stingrays. They were all swimming around in the lagoon. Pretty cool. All of the food was insanely expensive. Everything was just insanely expensive. We paid all that money to go to a resort where all we did was go to the pool or the beach every day, which I can do here. There's pools everywhere, and there's a beach an hour from here. Okay, I know. It's not as beautiful as the beach in the Bahamas. I'll give you that. But it's just sand and water. I don't know. I don't like to get wet. That may shock you because I'm on the water so much, but I'm on the water. I'm not in it. I don't like to get in it. I don't like it. The only time I get in the water, I'm not a wade fisherman. I don't like to wade fish. Only time I get in the water is if I got to push my skiff out of a spot that I've ran aground. That's it. So everybody got sunburnt, and we spent 5 days by the pool and paid a ridiculous amount of money for all of our meals. And we were woken up every night by 20-somethings that were on spring break that were coming into their hotel room at 4 a.m. drunk, beating on all the doors, raising hell all down the hallway. So now if you ask my wife and kids, it was the greatest vacation they've ever had in their life. So maybe my perspective is a little off, but we went with a couple that we're really good friends with, Garrett and Haley and their kids, and we love them. We get along great with them, so hanging out with them was a ton of fun. So that's that. I'm back. Back into the swing of things, and as I rolled into my driveway, I noticed that the pin oak in my front yard has really started to sprout. The grass is looking greener. things are really starting to happen for spring. I'm going to plant my garden this week, going to plant it on Friday, and the spring is happening. Now, weather-wise, let me tell you what we're just kind of the normal pattern that's going to happen from now until Easter, which is 2 weeks from now. So I hear everyone right now, I've seen it all over social media going, you know, like we're fine, we're seeing fish up shallow, but they're not eating, or there were lots of fish up there, but we only caught two or three. And I've seen a lot of that. And the reason for that is because I tried to tell y'all this all throughout the winter leading up to this point, but the first 2, sometimes 3 weeks of March, it just isn't that good. You start to see all of these signs of life that would lead you to believe that the fishing is going to be awesome, and it's just not. That is because the fish are not fully out of their metabolic, you know, winter pattern, and they're not going to get out of that until these cool fronts stop dropping overnight temps into the 40s and or high 50s, and until we get a solid patch of bait that hatches. Now, maybe it's hatched in the last week and I haven't been out there, right? But my guess is that it is hatching. It just isn't really showing up in the bazillions of numbers that they will show up that last week of March. The cool fronts are going to continue to happen until the end of March. Right around Easter is when we're going to get our last little cool front. And as I described the cool front, it's dropping temps overnight into the 40s, high 40s usually, and then the daytime will be in the 60s. So what that's doing is keeping, it's dropping that water temperature back down into the 60s. It'll get down in the low 60s overnight. It'll come back up and hit 70, 72 during the day. And so it's got everything in this kind of waiting pattern for things to stabilize and get normal. And they've come really close. We've had pretty steady water temperature. But like I said, what's going to happen is right around the end of March, maybe the week before, we're going to see, I think we've got 12 days until the full moon comes. So roughly 2 weeks. So right around the end of March, we're going to have a full moon. It's going to be at some point in that week going to be coupled with an incoming tide and a southeast wind, and bam, the water's going to come up again and it's going to stay up. It's up right now, but it's been a little hit or miss. It's been down, it's been up, it's been down, it's been up. It blew out last Saturday. That was only a few days ago. Now it's back up. That's probably going to happen once or twice more. I don't know if we'll see a big dropout, but it's not going to stay as consistent as we will want it to be in the very end of March and on into April. And so that's when we're going to see the shrimp hatch. What I hope happens and what I think is happening right now is we're getting a lot of glass minnow and shad hatching out right now. That's all great. It's going to be cool. Fish get a little difficult to catch during that time because it's so small. And we've talked about this before, but just to rehash, like this is what I'm going to give you my setup when I go out, which I'm going out tomorrow with the kids. And I've got 3 rods. I've got my small paddle tail. Probably with the small paddle tail, I'm going to go with like a knocking tail that will have a little bit of a rattle in the tail just to have that extra attention drawn to it, that extra difference about it. And on rod number 2, I'm going to have a larger weedless paddle tail that I will throw around shell structure. I'll throw it just to try to get a hit. That paddle tail, I will throw a wilder color. I may throw like a Caden, it's got that Halloween color. I may throw the Caden King Cake at them. Something like that. That's going to be my go-to on the larger paddle tail. And I'm not huge. I'm not talking about the 5-inch. I'm talking about the, you know, whatever it is, 4, 4 1/4, whatever. The smaller is around that 3 to 3 1/4. And then I'm going to have a topwater tied on. And it's going to be probably either a white belly or a black belly. It's going to be your Spook or Spook Junior. I'm going to throw either a Kevin's Outside custom painted topwater, I'm going to throw a Diamond G topwater or something like that. I've got a few of each of those, and those are my three setups. If I'm going to throw a fly, which it's going to be pretty windy for the rest of the spring, but if you get the chance and you're going to throw a fly, then I'm throwing a crab, because a baby crab is one of those things that a redfish will eat no matter what. So when you get all this other stuff hatching out, a baby crab will be the trick to get them to stay focused on it. Crab is one of those things you can throw all year long because it never gets old to them. You'll notice, and I've seen this happen sometimes, where if you're out of season for the shrimp, if they're already done with their thing, and let's say you're in the dead of the winter or the dead of the summer, and there aren't any shrimp there, and you throw a shrimp pattern fly or a voodoo shrimp or something like that, I have watched this happen from the platform enough times to think that it's a thing where sometimes they eat it, but even the ones that eat it look a little reluctant, like, what the heck is that doing here? They look at it kind of weird and they're like, I think I'm supposed to eat that. And it's just not as much of a committed eat. I had in January, early January, I was out. I had my son pushing me on the platform, Reed, and I was throwing a shrimp imitation fly. And I had two fish follow it and look very confused that it was there and not really sure. One of them like opened his mouth like he was going to eat it and then kind of couldn't make his mind up. So I pulled it away from those two and threw it at a different fish that was out in front of me. And he was a younger fish, a smaller fish, and he smashed it. So those older fish been around a little bit longer. I think they're a little bit smarter. I'm not trying to give them too much credit, but the baby crab is something that they're just going to hammer all the time. If they're eating, sometimes they're not, you know. So we got a strong incoming tide tomorrow, and we have a wind that's going to be a 15 mile an hour plus. So that's going to be tough. It's going to be a east, southeast, or a southeast. And that's just, it's rough. If it's going to blow that hard, I would rather it blow a southwest, but it's fine. I've got places to go. I can get away from that. I can pull with the wind at my back and try to put these kids on some fish. So that would be the ticket for what I'm using for my setups. Small paddle tail with a rattle, knock and tail, a little bigger paddle tail on a weed lift setup, and then a topwater. And usually when I'm out there and I see bait popping and I see fish eating, which you're not really seeing that much of that right now, unless you're like out in the middle of the bay and you're watching some bull reds, you know, crush something or whatever, then okay, maybe that's a thing. But up in the marshes, the action is still kind of dead. It just hasn't kicked off yet, but you got to be patient for another week. Another week, maybe 2 weeks, but I think at the end of next week, we're going to start seeing the magic happen. It's going to start becoming, you know, good again. And then shortly after that, on some windy morning when the water temperature is around 73 degrees and the water's muddy and the wind is howling, we're going to find seagulls in some far back lake hovering over the top of redfish. and it's going to be awesome. And so that's what we have to look forward to. I think that patience is the key. If you're moving through the marshes now, we're in that time period where if you've got some open water structure that you like to fish, some shell, some kind of reef, some kind of pothole area, you know, a drop off. If you're going to fish that open water stuff, you're going to start to see bigger fish show up. The bigger redfish are going to start showing up in about a week to 2 weeks. And that's how you start to know, like, okay, there's something about to kick off in the marsh. You're not going to catch a ton of those bigger fish, but they're going to be there. And they're, you know, eating all kinds of things. You can, you know, catch two or three of them. They're going to be your bigger tournament size fish. You may even mix some bulls in there. They're starting to come back in. They've all been out in the middle of the bay. They've been out closer to the jetties. They've been, you know, doing that kind of thing. They're going to start to hone in on shallow water structure because all the bait is starting to hatch out. And when that happens, the marsh is going to fire back up for a lot of those low to mid slot redfish and some bigger fish back there sometimes too. But we're going to really see the high numbers pick up in, you know, end of March, beginning of April. So that's the ticket. And just got to hold out and be patient from now until then. Let's talk about the wind and how to manage the wind when we're fishing on this, you know, these insane windy spring days. What I'll do is I begin to plan my whole day around the wind. And so at different times of the year, different elements are more important. So in the fall, I'm looking for the tide, I'm looking for the water level, and I'm looking for the weather, because you get those spotty rain patches coming up or whatever. The wind is not as much of a factor in the fall. In the spring, it is all about the wind, because it's going to blow 15 miles an hour consistently. So what I do is I pick an area that is going to get a lot of tidal flow on that incoming tide, that's going to have enough water for me to pole in about a foot to foot and a half or shallower. And I'm going to pole with the wind at my back, and I'm going to stop every so often and power pole down and work an area and pick it up and pole a little further and stop and work an area and do that over and over. I try not to use the trolling motor, but here's a situation where I'll use it. If I have the wind blowing off of a shoreline, but it's not directly off of the shoreline, let's say it's blowing off of the shoreline at my back left shoulder. Well, I'll use the trolling motor to keep the bow of the boat close to the shore, and the wind will blow the stern out, you know, away, directly away from the shoreline. And I'll use that trolling motor to kind of nudge my way all along the bank there. And I'm casting out at a diagonal, you know, diagonal angle towards the shore. And I'm working the banks, you know, the grassy shorelines like that. But you got to watch because the pattern in the spring is going to be schools of fish in the middle, singles tied to structure, you know, close to the shorelines and close to the cuts. So in the spring, you've got incoming tide or outgoing tide. You want to treat any little cut like a drain. If it's incoming, be on the receiving side of that little cut and fish it like you would a drain of a backlake. Vice versa, an outgoing, you're going to fish those little pinch points in those areas where the water's flowing out. Those are going to be areas where your singles and doubles are going to stack up, and they're going to be catching bait that's flushing up into the marsh. And then you're going to have schools of fish that are going to break off out in the middle. The schools of fish just typically are going to be in the spring, are going to be your better fish. They're going to be your larger mid-slot to upper slot fish, depending on the school. You go out there and find a school and they're working in a back lake, they are going to all kind of look the same. If you catch a 21-inch fish, well, the way I know this is because I've had a lot of people on the boat and we've doubled up on schools a lot. Well, when you double up on a school, you've got two fish off of that school, and most of the time, they look dang near identical. They're almost the same size. There might be a couple of 21-inch fish off a school. You'll know that whole school is kind of like that size. So you want to move off. If you're tired of catching those fish and you're looking for bigger fish, you go move off and you find one that's 25, 26. Well, guess what? Most of the fish in that school are going to be that size. And those schools are going to be territorial. So you don't necessarily want to give away where you're at, because that school is going to work that area for the next 2 weeks. Around the spring and the fall is where I get real careful not to give away where I'm at, because I will go out and burn a bunch of gas and go find a bunch of schools. I know the areas to go look for them, and I'll go patrol around when the magic's happening and go locate four or five. And I do that because I don't want to pound on the same school every day. I want to be able to take a client or a buddy and hit two or three schools, or let's go hit all four or five of them, but only catch a fish or two off of each school. What I don't want to do is I don't want to sit in a back lake and, you know, you catch a fish or two off a school and they die out and then they fire back up. You catch another fish or two and then they die out and then they fire back up and you catch another. If you beat on a school of fish like that, they will stop doing what they're doing. And so it's good to respect that. And if you tell all your buddies where you were, it's just a fact of life that you're gonna end up with a lot of boats doing the same thing you're doing, and they might not take as nice a care of that area and be as, you know, quiet in and quiet out as you are. So it's just that time of year. When it's December or you know, late June, July, early August, January, I don't care if people see where I'm fishing, because the truth of the matter is those fish are there today and they're gone tomorrow. That has bitten me over the past couple of months, because I'll think I have fish figured out and I'll find a bunch of them. I'll go back the next day and I'll be like, man, we're going to hammer them today. I know where they're at. I got their mailboxes picked out. Nope, they're gone. That's not the case in the spring. In the spring, they are going to chase shrimp in a back lake every day around the same time, unless you have a crazy weather event. But, you know, every day around the same time, it changes a little bit every day. That's because the sunrise and sunset change a little bit every day. The tide swing changes a little bit every day. So if you can figure out what is impacting their shift in time the most, then you can stay on them. And usually what that is tide before anything. But if it's if the fish are kicking off right around sunlight, right around the sun coming up, that can affect things. So I try to get out there before the sun is completely up, just to take in what I'm hearing and seeing, and try to get those extra few minutes of reconnaissance down, so that I know what's happening in a particular back lake. And that's the trick. But for the next 2 weeks, your mission when you go out there is to be the same, but be different. Be the same in the sense that start out throwing a small bait, a small paddle tail, You could even try a small shrimp, or if you can find the, I mean, just get the little bugs jig or something. Might work out well. Throw something small. If that doesn't get the hit, and you know that you put the bait in front of the fish, because that's a big thing I see all the time. It's like someone gets frustrated because they haven't gotten a hit yet, and they want to change colors or they want to change styles. I'm like, no fish has even seen your bait yet. So just keep throwing it until you know a fish got to look at it. You know there's stuff happening right there, and you threw all in the middle of it and nothing happened, right? Start out with that small thing. I then throw the bigger paddle tail and nothing happens there. I'm throwing the topwater. And that progression for me in the Galveston area, in the marshes, muddy bottoms, that has been what works. So that's my two cents. We are right on the cusp of everything getting really good, and I'm excited about that. So if you would like to book a trip, you know the drill. Capt, Matt with two T's, Parrish is Parrish.com. Capt, Matt, Parrish.com. I had three or four people book last week, and the spring is starting to fill up. So don't wait. Let's get your date. Now's the time to nail your date down. The things are happening in the weather pattern that kind of lets me know when the shrimp are going to kick off. So I feel really good about April. I feel really good about May and probably the first half of June. So let's get some dates on the books. If you're out there thinking that you might want to, I'd rather you get with me now and let's put something on the books, because if you wait too late, it may be gone by then. Also, if you want to get in touch with me, emptystringers@gmail.com. You can follow me on Instagram at empty_stringers. You can follow me on the TikToks at emptystringers, if that's still around. In the near future, I've heard they're going to ban it or something. I don't know. What else is going on in life? Baytown House, worked on it today. We're getting oh so close to putting that thing on the market. I think I got another few weeks. Still a couple major sticking points I got to get over, and I got to pass a few of the final inspections. So we're getting there. Things are going well. Garden's going to the ground, like I said, on Friday. And kids go back to school on Monday. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Speaking of the Lord, let's get into our Bible tidbit for the week. I have been reading in 2 Peter. And because we live in a day and age, just like all of the days and ages that have come about, everyone thinks they're living in the end days. Everyone thinks they're living in the end times. And you know what? Maybe we are. And I think that as Jesus would characterize it, I think he would say, yeah, everything from the time he died on the cross and was resurrected till now is the end times and will be the end times until they come. But I love end times prophecy and just things that you find in scripture about the end times. And I ran across an interesting passage in 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm just going to read it to you. It says, this is 2 Peter chapter 3. It starts in verse 8. It says, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness will dwell. That is it. The part that is interesting to me is that we're supposed to be living in a way where we are hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. We are wanting to see that day come. And I think most of us are afraid of it. Most of us don't look forward to it. We don't know enough about it. It scares us. I'm just like, I hope that doesn't happen in my lifetime. I would say that feeling that we have, and I'm guilty of that as well, it's because we don't fully understand the future glory. Our present sufferings cannot compare to the future glory that we have in Christ. So live in a way that has you unafraid. Live in a way that is honoring of the Lord, and that makes you long for his coming, because you're so, like Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, he was so distraught over the sin that was all around him that he was happy to see the rescue of the Lord come. Although, well, that's a whole other story. Maybe we'll do one on Lot. Maybe we'll do Lot next time. That's a good, someone remind me that. We're going to do Lot for our Bible tidbit next week. But yeah, that's it. Live in a way that you're not afraid. It's going to happen. God's going to come one day or a million years from now. I don't know. Jesus is going to come back. The world's going to end, and we're going to get a new heaven and a new earth because he's making all things new. That's our Bible tidbit. And I look forward to having just some changing conditions out there on the water so that we got a little something else to talk about. Things that are coming up. The Salty Yak Pack, Carrie Beeson and the crew. We've got the Matagorda Island trip. I'm going on that trip with my buddy Chris. And I'm trying to work a little something special for the podcast because I'm going to be down in that area. And I'm not going to say what or who because I don't know if it's going to work out. But I'm going to try to get a special guest on the podcast. Probably will come out a couple of weeks after that trip. So we'll see how that works. I appreciate you guys listening and following along. Hope you guys have had a great spring break, and I'll talk to you next week.